If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of Phoning It In. My name is Dave Coffey and with me is Keane Sullivan, one of the hosts of Sissy That Pod, another brilliant podcast on the Headstuff Podcast Network. Keane is also a co-producer of Clankety Clank, our Dublin Fringe show, which is happening this week. Tickets are still available now on fringefest.com. Keane, do you want to tell everyone what Clankety Clank is?
Sure. Yeah, it's a co-production, I guess, but between ourselves, kind of merging our two worlds. So Sissy That Pod, for people who don't know, is a podcast that recaps RuPaul's Drag Race, which is a reality competition show of drag queens from all around the world. And there's several franchises. It's like that dragon where you chop off one head and three are formed in its place. And a really popular challenge in that show and franchise is called the Snatch Game, which is like a spin on Match Game in the US, which is basically their version of our Blankety Blank. And in it, the drag queens have to do celebrity impersonations and answer questions like the celebrities in Blankety Blank might have to do. It's a fan favorite. It can really make or break the success of a contestant on the show. And I thought, with Dave, your improv skills and the great guests you have on your show, and sort of James and my understanding of the format and our love for Snatch Game, we could come together and do an episode. So we did that in 2021.
And yeah, it was such a good match, and like
it was much better than I thought it would go. That like I wasn't sure how well it would do, but I think we were both really impressed with how well everyone did.
Yeah, because like all improv, I suppose we didn't have much to go on. We had the questions written, we asked people to pick a character, and then we just did it, and everyone was just so hilarious, and it went so well. And I'm a massive fan of Drag Race as well. And particularly Snatch Game because of the improv element to it. So when you guys originally asked to do that online version during lockdown, I was so into the idea. But yeah, just really just so happy with how it turned out. And I guess that's what led us to decide to do it as a live show for the Fringe.
Yeah, definitely. And like we for people who've seen the show Snatch Game, it's heavily edited, and like you're really led along a path of laughing because they add in all this extra canned laughter, and RuPaul is bent double crying laughing at something that sometimes isn't that funny. So it was interesting to see it unfold live in front of you, in terms of like, this is an unbiased representation of how talented these people are, and you can you can sort of make your opinion for yourselves rather than me force fed it via the Drag Race narrative.
Yeah, and I'm so excited to see it in front of a live audience as well, because I do think on Drag Race sometimes that Ru laughs at stuff that isn't funny, but also doesn't laugh at stuff that is, and you're kind of like, that's better than you're giving it credit for. And obviously they've got their whole reasons, like behind the scenes, what the producers want from the show and stuff like that, but putting it in front of a live audience is the real test to see, like, you know, what people love and what they don't, and hopefully they'll love everything.
Yeah, and you hear the judges critique them sometimes to be like, you were in character the whole time. But like, of course we don't see that because there's so many just close-up shots of other contestants doing stuff. So that's what I'll be really interested as well, to see, like, you know, someone like Oliver Cromwell react to somebody across the room, even just in facial expressions or body language and stuff. Like, I think there's going to be so much more there that you don't get on the TV.
Yeah, so with this Fringe version of Clankety Clank, we've gone for a real mix of comedians, improvisers, and drag performers. We're going to have a different cast each night. So there's like 14 performers overall, and we'll rotate them throughout the 4 days. But just, I suppose, have a quick chat through some of the people that we've got here. Kevin McGahern, a regular on Phoning It In, amazing improviser. He actually, probably not known for improv, more known as a stand-up, but every time he comes on Phoning It In, it just like absolutely is amazing, always kind of blows me away. Hannah Mamelis, another great performer on Phoning It In, every time she comes on she absolutely kills. Alison Spittle, another stand-up, not known for improv, anytime she's been on the show she's been amazing. Aaron McGathy, one of the founders of Mob Theatre here in Dublin, an improv theatre. It's actually at their show last night. Really, really good stuff. She co-runs that with Stephen Bradley, who's another improviser and will be on one of the shows as well. And then we've got our amazing drag performers, people like Lavender, Mistaken, Goblins, who has also appeared on Phoning It In, End of the Night, who was a recent guest on Phoning It In as well. And we've even got people traveling over from the UK, which is really exciting. So Rosa Tralee, who's a Belfast-born, I think, drag performer, but now based in London, is flying over to do the show. And X-Anthony, who is doing a show in the Dublin Fringe as well, with this Oliver Cromwell character that they're going to bring to our show. So lots of just really, really exciting performers. Have I left anyone out?
I mean, we haven't named all 14, but I think you got a good cover there. And I think what's really exciting about some of the drag artists is, like, we've got a really full range of the spectrum of drag. Like, you have maybe Lavender, who does maybe what's probably the closest to maybe what's on Drag Race, or maybe Mistaken, because Lavender does kind of more sort of spooky drag. And then you have, like, a drag king, effectively, in End of the Night. Rosa Tralee, like, isn't really like a club drag queen. She's more of like a theatrical drag queen, which is going to be totally different. And then you have X-Anthony, who is kind of more like sort of cabaret. So there's a really sort of fun balance in terms of like the queer performers, I think, on the lineup.
Yeah, and with the comedians and improvisers, we do have that mix of like traditional sort of stand-ups and people who never do stand-up and are like pure improv, like Pearl O'Rourke. Pearl O'Rourke is one of my, you know, favorite guests on Phoning It In, probably been on more than anyone. And just really excited to see what she brings to the celebrity impression thing, because that's a whole other ball game as well. And I think some of these performers will really lean into like doing a great vocal impression. Like I've heard Ed Salmon's Sean Connery, and it's like a really good Sean Connery. But yeah. I think other people will go down that route of just embodying the character or creating their own character, you know. Like I know Pearl is hoping to do the happy pair, like both of them as a character. No idea how that's gonna work, but I know it's gonna be amazing. Is there any other celebrity impressions that you're particularly excited to see?
Like I think when you and I have been like talking about who like when they floated some character ideas behind us, I think what we're trying to find is a good, like, the character behind the celebrity. So, like, you know, I think Pearl O'Rourke is also thinking of or is also going to be doing Vogue Williams on one of the nights. And I think that's a really interesting way of, like, playing to her strength, because on your show, she always plays, like, a really good sort of Karen, like, a really sort of, like, uppity, sort of looking down her nose at people. And I think that's a really interesting, like, gaze to view Vogue through. So, like, you know, obviously celebrities are well-rounded people, but it's like, what you kind of need to, like James would always say, do the SNL version of that person. Yeah. How are you going to interpret that person through a sort of comedy lens and through a character lens, which I think is going to be what's really interesting and what's really sort of a fun game for us to play sort of producing this. I'm super excited for Hannah Mamalis's Bosco.
Yeah,
I think, like, I don't think you can really... When I heard we were doing it, I was like, of course, we need to have a Bosco, like, for Irish heritage. I think, like, you can't get it anywhere else. There was even that whole, that whole sort of Twitter, not drama, but, like, moment where Bosco, season 14 competitor on Drag Race, realized that Bosco was a sort of kids puppet in Ireland. So I think this is, like, a really fun, like, full circle moment for that.
For Bosco.
Yeah, for Bosco. Anna Delvey is a character that I know, like, has become an instant meme because of that show. Now, I actually haven't watched the show, but I listened to the podcast. So I've heard, like, the sort of affectations of her voice. But I need to, like, brush up on that, because I think that's somebody who I think we will see in actual Snatch Game.
There's a few people in there as well that I also need to brush up on, because as host, I kind of need to be able to like buzz off these people, and I haven't seen that show either, so I'm definitely going to be binging that this weekend. Another one I'm really excited for, because I've seen him do it before, is Kevin McGarren does Leo Varadkar. I've seen him just do this on stage, and again, it's not about it's not really about Leo. It's like taking one aspect of Leo and kind of blowing it up. So we, you know, Leo, exactly. You know, he's been seen at like music festivals and, he goes, he likes to go clubbing in Berlin, and it's like one minor part of his character. And I think Kevin kind of leads into that, and it's just so funny. It's a totally different take on Leo than you'll get in like from Oliver Callan or Mario Rosenstock, one of those. It's hilarious. So really looking forward to that.
And Kevin's other character, Michael Flatley, I mean, could that be more relevant based on the recent release of Blackbird? So I think that's that's perfectly timed character to choose.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see him do that as well.
Elizabeth Holmes as well, of course, in our original YouTube version, which you'll hear towards the end of this episode, Erin McGathy did a brilliant version. I must say, at the time, I didn't really know who she was. I kind of got the gist through Erin's performance, which I think goes to show how good it was. But then...
she's blown up.
Watching The Dropout and listening to the podcast, I just kept picturing Erin's depiction of her the whole time. So I'm really, I'm really looking forward to see like how that has gone from sort of a niche caricature to now like a really mainstream one based on like her coverage this year.
Yeah, I was the exact same. I hadn't seen The Dropout. I still haven't actually, but I was vaguely aware of who Elizabeth Holmes was. Had to research her before we did that. And then... it didn't matter because Erin's performance was just so good. You just got it straight away. Mm. And there's a few people in with Clankety Clank as well who have picked people like that, that like not everyone's necessarily going to know this person. So it really then it's on the performer to like be brilliant because you're not relying on, little cues that the audience know. You just have to be straight up funny and you have to find the funny with the character and really go with it. Mm. So I'm excited to see that as well.
Yeah, on the Wednesday, Goblins is going to give us an Orson Welles. And I think that's, out of all the characters, is the one I'm most intrigued to see how they're going to play it, because it's a character I'm not particularly familiar with.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm a big Orson Welles fan, so I'm intrigued to see it for the other reason, because I'm...
yeah, okay.
Because I know, a lot of stuff, but I'm curious to see, do they go hard on, like, an impression, or is it, like, more just larger than life... character, we've also got Lavender is going to do Lauren Bacall, who's another one that because I love sort of old movies and film noir and stuff, like I'd be very familiar from her back in the heyday, but I have a feeling Lavender's Lauren Bacall is going to be just a crazy Hollywood lunatic, which I'm very much here for as well.
Yeah, it seems to be based off like those 70s coffee ads that Lauren Bacall did.
Yes.
So it's like that sort of fun aspect of taking like one tiny niche element of a character and blowing it up, sort of almost like with Leo and Kevin. I think she'll fit in quite well. And she's on the Thursday show, if you want to go check that one out. I think Erin McGathy as Tilda Swinton is definitely going to be something to behold. I think that's just going to be brilliant. Like, Tilda Swinton has such lore about her of being this sort of kooky alien queen. I just think Erin's going to do such a good job with her.
Yeah, and Erin's also, because Erin's doing all four nights, she's also giving us four different characters as well, which is like really above and beyond. You know, that's great to have that confidence to do four completely different characters. I would have been totally happy if she'd done like two and two, but... she's also doing Julia Fox, who was dating Kanye West and just had a bunch of kind of memeable moments, very much a kind of caricature of a human being herself. So I'm excited to see that one as well. And got a very specific way of speaking, which was part of the reason she became a meme. So yeah, very excited for that.
In terms of people current as well, on the Thursday night, Ro Carey is going to give us a Prince Harry. Mm. So it's interesting to know, I don't think we know too much in what version of Prince Harry are we going to get. Are we going to get the
wild child?
The younger Prince Harry. Yeah, the wild child. Are we going to get the I've defected from my family Prince Harry? Are we going to get like Prince Andrew jokes? I don't know. Like, there's a lot of material to work with there. And I'm really interested to see how he's going to play up against people like, if he sat beside Lauren Bacall on the Thursday, or maybe like the happy pair, like that could be a very sort of strange combination.
Yeah.
But like fun to see.
We're going to have some very strange combos in there, which is great. Like a real good mix of Irish celebrities that everyone knows inside out. And then, random American reality stars, people from history. We've just got everything, which is going to be really excited to see. to see as well.
On, like on Tuesday, we've got Bosco and Sean Connery. I mean, two worlds collide.
Okay, well, listen, you said it earlier. For this special episode, what we're going to do is we're going to play back the original Snatch game that we did, the original Clankety Clank that we did during lockdown. For people who haven't heard it, we're going to play that back. If you haven't already done so, please go to fringefest.com and get your tickets. We'd love to see you there. It's going to be a great show. Keen, thanks for coming on, having this chat.
No problem.
And thanks for listening. Hello and welcome to Sissing It In, a very special crossover episode that combines everyone's favorite Drag Race podcast, Sissy That Pod, and everyone's favorite improv show, Phoning It In. I am your host, Dave Coffey, and today we are playing the Snatch Game. We'll meet our celebrity guests in just a second, but first, let's meet our two contestants, hosts of Sissy That Pod, Keen and James. Keen, I'm going to come to you first. Keen, yes. What is your favorite thing about RuPaul's Drag Race?
Oh, there's a lot. I mean, there's the comedy, there's the fashion, but really, I just love being able to bitch about everybody right after it's over.
Okay, well, that was the correct answer was Snatch Game. That was what.
Okay.
My favorite thing is Snatch Game, David. Don't worry.
We should have rehearsed that. Okay, well, I want to come to you, James, and I want to know, what's your favorite thing about Keen?
Oh, hey, in his reflection, I always look funnier, more handsome, and better.
Amazing. The perfect co-host. What more could you want? Okay, guys, are you ready to play Snatch Game?
Yes. Couldn't be more ready.
I'm excited. Let's meet our celebrity guests. First up, we have star of What Richard Did and Transformers Age of Extinction. It's Irish actor Jack Rayner. Jack.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Where am I, Dean?
Yeah, what have you been up to?
Dave, I've been in lockdown, baby. Lockdown. I've been hiding away in the Hollywood Hills. I've been shacking up myself. Ben Wheatley and a few of the other boys. It's been great now, to be honest, man.
Okay, have you got any exciting roles coming up that you can talk about?
No, man. It's all out. I was going to be in the Zoom remake of Captain Blanca there, me and you want Lily James, but then that's after getting shit canned. So, no.
What happened? Why was it shit canned?
Oh, it wasn't a very good idea, Dave. Yeah, Zoom and Casablanca in Zoom. The whole thing is the location, Dave.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It wasn't going to work. Tell me this. If you could transform into anything, Jack, what would you transform into?
Barry Cowan's career.
Okay.
Yeah. I walked that I'm a brick and run, Dave. I'm not being funny, but
he's doing very well. Like he's been working right through lockdown. He's got a lot of
yeah, leave projects. It out, all right. Leave okay. it out, leave it out. Okay. All right, there's something to talk about it.
Okay, well look, we'll move on to our next guest. Kim Woodburn, the Queen of Clean, is here.
Oh, don't start, David. Don't start.
Kim, how clean is your house?
Oh, David, you'd love to know, you dirty bastard.
I would love to know, because I always had the suspicion that you go around and you clean everyone else's house, but probably your own house is a bit of a mess.
I the accusation, don't start, you're getting gang-handed now, David. You've joined a gang and you should know better. Your chicken liver shit, David, I don't Whoa. Like you.
Okay, Kim, sorry, I didn't mean to.
I'm sorry, David, I've had a bad childhood. I will go into it later, but I've had quite a bad childhood.
Yes.
And yes. Yeah, yes.
That excuses yes. a lot. Okay, well, listen, we'll talk a little bit more. There's a Freudian slip for you. We'll talk a little bit more.
You can Freudian slip me anytime, Dave.
Okay, we'll talk a little bit more about your childhood later on. I'm going to move on to our next guest, founder and CEO of Theranos, Elizabeth Holmes. Elizabeth Holmes, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm so delighted to be here. I work all the time. My brain all the time is just focused on fixing the world. So it's nice to do something that's less important for once.
Yeah, it's nice to take a load off. I know in 2015, Forbes named you the youngest and wealthiest self-made female billionaire in America.
Yes, thank you. And it's so nice to be here. You can move on to the next.
How are things going now?
Well, you know what they say, first, when you have a big idea, first they call you crazy, and then they fight you. And then they give you $1 billion and then they take it away, but they'll give it back, I'm sure.
It's the rise and fall. You're going to come bouncing back any day now.
Absolutely. You? It's all alleged. And I'm here to maybe share some new ideas. And I really want people to like me.
Is your voice okay, Elizabeth?
It sounds my famously... low and strong voice. Of course, it's okay.
Some people have claimed that you affect a baritone voice to be more to sound more trustworthy. Is that true?
You know, first they say you're crazy, then they fight you. No, of course not. That's ridiculous.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Well, listen. I'm looking forward to talking more about Tyrannos and how you're going to change the world later on. But I want to move on to our next guest. The blue-haired matriarch of Springfield's favorite family, Marge Simpson, is here.
Hello, Dave.
Marge, how are you? How's the family?
Oh, the family's okay. It's been nice being around them all during lockdown.
Oh, yeah. How have things been in the Simpson household? How have things been in the Simpson household under lockdown?
Oh, it's been real good, Dave.
Yeah?
Homie's been staying home more often.
Okay, well, but I can imagine that could be a lot, though, on your relationship. A bit of a strain.
Dave, I love my family. I love them so much. I just like having them under the same roof.
What's Bart been up to? Has he gotten into any mischief while in lockdown?
My special little guy? He's been spray painting the walls indoors, but you
in
know
the
what?
House.
In the house, that's right, Dave.
Oh, my God.
But you know... He's still a great son, and he's got a heart of gold.
He does.
And Kim, if you want to join the Simpsons squad and have a brand new mom, that's totally fine by us.
No, I've seen your house, Marge. You live in filth with your fat slob of a husband and your riddled children, absolutely riddled. No, I'm afraid not, Marge.
Okay, well, that was... That was fairly...
I know this is improv and you're supposed to do yes and, but no. No, Marge.
That's fine.
Of course, yeah. Well, listen, we have a Hollywood legend with us. The star of my favorite film, It's a Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart, is here. Jimmy.
Hello there, Dave. It's so great to be invited on the show.
Well, it's great to be in the presence of an absolute legend. Jimmy, what was your favorite role that you ever took on?
Oh, that'll have to be as Mr. Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life. I was just rewatching it there. Weeping I was, David, weeping.
An absolute classic. What's your favorite scene in It's a Wonderful Life?
There's that bit in the sky where the stars start talking to each other. I think that science fiction mumbo-jumbo, it's just great. I wish there was more of it in the movies.
Yeah, you didn't see as much of that kind of stuff back in the day.
I tried to fight for it, Dave. I wanted most of the movie to be those sky scenes.
Just stars talking to each other for the whole
yeah,
movie.
Yeah.
It would have been a different film, though, wouldn't it?
Would have been a different film. All I say is you release some footage of the premiere and you get some stars talking to each other. You know what I'm saying now, Master Dave?
Jimmy, it's great to have you here. Gemma Collins, the star of Only Way is Essex, is also here to play the Snatch Game. Gemma, do you like playing games?
All right, Dave, baby. No, I've got to say, I don't like playing games. I don't like booked on things with Kim Woodburn. I've got a thing in my contract says I'm the only reality TV star with blonde hair that can be in a Snatch Game, right? So I need to talk to somebody in management. Get me the fuck out of here. I don't want to play any more fucking games. Yeah. Shit.
I object to that, Gemma. I have a job. I have a cleaner as well. What are you?
Yeah, you are my cleaner, love. You can be my cleaner. You can scrub my toilet, darling.
I also take umbrance with that. My look is highly curated, and there's a lot of thought put into it. And I think that there's room for many powerful women, multiple women, not just me, at the top.
Why have we got Hillary Clinton in here? You lost the election, love. Sit down.
We have with us one of the greatest actors of our generation, Al Pacino, is here.
Which button do I press?
No, we can hear you, Al. We can hear you loud and clear.
Madeline, which button do I press? The guy is talking at me.
We can hear you, Al. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, okay, how are you? Oh, my God.
We can hear
here
you.
Here we are. Yeah.
Here we are. Al, how would you describe this?
I cannot believe that I am on a Zoom with my favorite star of the silver screen, Kim Woodburn. Unbelievable. Oh. I love her.
Oh, wow. Oh.
She's fantastic. Have you ever seen her? She goes in, she insults people, she gets out of there.
I'm a long-bodied woman, Al. Oh, you can see it.
She sure is. She sure is. Dave, have you seen the long body on this woman here?
I have. Kim, are you a fan of Al's work?
Yes, I definitely am. I've seen several of his films. Anger Management, Jack and Jill, a great one. You were fantastic in Jack and Jill. Amazing.
Well, listen, speaking of living legends, we have legendary singer and Irish national treasure, Daniel O'Donnell, with us. Daniel.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
Daniel, why do old women love you so much?
I don't know. I think probably because I do have a handsome quality about me and I love denim. I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
You're known for your close relationship with your fans, but has any of those relationships ever crossed any lines?
Yes, but only to meet a dying wish, Dave.
Okay, yeah. So what kind of wishes have you granted?
Well, the older community, they find it hard to meet people. So I go, you've heard about my nursing home concerts.
Yes.
I do another service for the old ladies, performing cunnilingus on some and giving them some gentle kisses and affection, reading some passages of the Bible. And also, they love mince, Dave. So I bring in a small mince dish to them and we sit and we chat and we caress and, you know, yourself. You're a red-blooded male, Dave.
Of course. It's just that I suppose so many of your fan base must be dying on a regular basis. You must be kept very busy with all that.
Aye, but, you know, there's funeral after funeral, but I love a good funeral. I love a good funeral. There's nothing better. You get the sandwiches, you get the tea, you get the conversation. And while it's sad, these people have lived great lives. So, yeah. You know.
It's a beautiful thing.
I must say, I've had some services off Daniel O'Donnell and tip-top. Tip-top.
I remember it well, Kim. Yes. And I must say, it was a spotless house and a tip-top body as well.
Oh, long as the day is long.
So. I could eat my dinner, as we Colin Farrell said, and my breakfast and my lunch off certain crevices of your body, Kim.
I believe I'm you also, did. I'm still pulling out mints to this day, to be honest with you. How clean is my gowl? Not very.
Well, that's it. And I would say very. And it smelled beautifully of Domestos as well.
Now it's Bisto. And I must say, I left 20 pounds on the table. You didn't take it, Daniel. I left it there as a test.
I came like never before.
Amazing. Well, listen, I want to thank all of our guests for being here today. It's time to play the Snatch Game. I'm going to start with Keane. The first question is for you.
Okay.
Ryan Tuberty has lost his marbles. On last week's Late Late Show, he gave a blank to everyone in the audience. Okay, I'm going to put the question back to you, Keane. Ryan Tuberty has lost his marbles on last week's Late Late Show. He gave a blank to everyone in the audience. What's your answer?
Well, I mean, I don't enjoy the Late Late Show. I think it's really, really boring. So I think he gave an apology to everybody in the audience because the quality has been going downhill.
It has been tough on lockdown. You know, yeah. You have no audience. You're trying to juggle like lighthearted stuff with the absolute misery of everything that's going on.
Yeah.
So you think Ryan Tuberty gave an apology.
An apology.
A well-deserved apology.
Yeah, sincere, heartfelt, sobbing apology.
You know what as well? Times are hard in RT. That's probably all they can afford these days.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for the first answer. I'm going to go to Jack Rayner. Jack, what have you got for us?
He gave a stern talking to.
It's right up his street. It's very Tubbs. Unfortunately, it's not the right answer. If Tuberty was going to give a stern talking to the audience, what do you think he'd give out to them for, Jack?
Not reading enough. Not having a kind of a bookworm nature. He's a fan of reading, as am I. I read scripts all the time, and love letters.
Love letters from fans.
Sure. The love letters I write to my fans.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Proofreading them, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the typical age range of your fans, Jack, that you're writing to?
Well, I'm going to wide swap of fans, you know. There's obviously the... you know, the What Richard Did stands who are, you know, they're you're talking, you know, 14 onwards, and all right to them, obviously. And then you've got the Transformers fans, which are mostly 48-year-old men. They've got all those swaps. What else have I been in, Dave?
They're the only two I know, I'm afraid. So Kim, what answer did you have?
I went for a cutting stare. I don't like Ryan Tubbity. He's demeaning to me. Last time I was on, it was for a simple debate on manners within shops with Noam Chomsky. Lovely man, lovely man. And Ryan kept interrupting me and Noam, and you know, cutting in with his own jokes. And I'm like, Ryan, please, dignity. I am debating Noam Chomsky here. Yes, great night, great night. And then he asked me, I don't know about you, David, but he was asking me about who killed John F. Kennedy. I think it's a question he asks everyone all the time.
He's obsessed. He's obsessed with JFK and books. And yeah, I mean, RT have warned him so many times, stop asking people about the assassination. No one cares anymore.
Noam Chomsky was quite uncomfortable, you know, he called him Noam Chomsky. I was taken aback. I was like, Ryan, please, we're here in the RTE studios. I'm drinking my warm white wine. James Nesbitt is in the corner. Have manners in front of James Nesbitt. He was quite scared. Well,
it sounds like he should have given an apology, but I'm afraid that's the wrong answer, Kim. Going to move on to power boss Elizabeth Holmes.
Before I give you my answer, could I ask you to ask the question again in maybe a more simple way? I don't want to indict myself with my answer.
Yeah, you want to be very straightforward kind of.
Absolutely. Okay. Because at the end of the day, I'm a very honest person. And yes, we made some mistakes, but really, I'm just here to save the world.
Okay. What did Ryan Tubbity give to his audience?
Yeah, great. All right.
That's straightforward, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that's good. I actually said Viewmaster of Memories, which is a prototype that we're working on at Theranos. You know, we've all had trauma, a lot of trauma. My uncle, who I love so much, actually had face cancer for years.
Oh, God.
It was horrific. I've actually had 20 different uncles who have died, and what I would like to do is the Viewmaster of Memories. What it is basically is you start to forget things, and just with one prick of blood, you tap the thing, and you go through, and you're able to see all of the things that you are trying to remember. So I said that.
Wow, I mean that technology sounds completely unbelievable, but
I don't know what you're saying. Well, unbelievable to some who aren't dreamers.
Well, I'm afraid it's not the right answer.
Yeah, I thought if anybody was used to apologies, it would have been you, Elizabeth. So I'm ashamed it wasn't a match.
All right. Well, I'm going to take that at face value and not read into the tone. So thank you so much.
Marge Simpson. Marge.
Well, Dave, I said a smile.
A smile.
Because it doesn't matter what's going on in here. Once you put a smile on your face and present to the world that everything's going great, that everything is going great.
That is such the most perfect Marge Simpson answer.
Thank you, Dave.
Beautiful. Okay, well, look, it's not a right answer, I'm afraid, Keane. We're not doing too well. We'll move on to Jimmy Stewart. Maybe Jimmy can help you out. What have you got, Jimmy?
Oh, I'm sorry there, Ken. I'm not too familiar with this Ryan Rubbery fella. Some of you seem to have some very strong opinions on the guy, but I thought he'd do what I'd hope anyone would do during these tough times, and he'd give everyone a friendly piece of advice. anything they're working through.
What would George Bailey do if he had to deal with coronavirus, do you think?
Oh, well, George, he'd probably have died by now because he's got an underlying health condition with that ear.
That ear, yes. Oh. That's going to cause problems. Yeah, absolutely. Gemma, can you help us out? What answer have you got?
Darren, honey, I've got to be honest with you, babe. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand. I don't like this game. I just wrote, these producers are fucking idiots. I'm out of here, Dave. I don't want to play any more games.
No, Gemma.
I don't need the money. If you fucking cunts are going to pay my mortgage, I've got money.
Yeah. Oh God, she's gone. Okay. Well, look. Hopefully, hopefully we can get Gemma back for the next round.
Can I just ask? Is that lady going to curse the whole way through?
I hope not. We'll have to bleep it out afterwards.
Oh, thank you.
We have Al Pacino next. Al, can you help us out with an answer?
Yeah, I got. I wrote live fox, a live fox. I don't know, focus. Same as Jimmy. I've never heard of this guy or this show. So I just when a friend of mine lost his marbles. That's what a friend of mine, Marty. Martin Clunes, he lost his marbles one time, and he gave lots of people a live fox.
Right, okay.
Are you familiar with Martin Clunes?
Yes, the actor Martin Clunes.
Yeah.
Men behaving badly?
Oh, he sure is. Giving people a live fox, he is.
So he gave you a live fox?
No, not me. I mean, he tried.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I shot that fox off the cliff by my mansion.
Okay. Right. Okay. It's not a right answer, I'm afraid.
I don't understand how this game works.
Well, I hopefully you'll...
Do I get a live fox?
No. you probably won't go home with any prizes today. Daniel O'Donnell, you're our last hope here for a
Come
right
on,
answer.
Daniel.
What did you say?
I said a jar of carrots because I think that you can't go wrong. I know that people said he's lost his marbles. He is pure sense. That is the most nutritious item of food. They ate them in the war and everything. And there's probably still some from World War II. They spice up things in the bedroom. If you're ever thirsty, you can have a swig of the brine. They're great. Wow. So okay. People say he's lost his marbles. He's actually the most sensible man in this country, and I have a lot of respect for Ryan, so there okay. You go,
Keen. I'm afraid we didn't get a right answer there.
No.
We had a lot of similar sentiment, I feel, you know, around yeah. the kind of giving a stern look, giving advice. We were
yeah.
close, but I'm
yeah.
afraid
no matches.
There is no score for you there, so we'll move on to James. Your first question is this: the notions on that darn Kennedy. When he rocks up to the deli in Gay's Bar, he doesn't just order a chicken fillet roll. He orders a blank. James, I'm going to come to you. What does Darren Kennedy order?
Well, inspired by one of our players today, I reckon he orders a single plum floating in perfume served in a man's hat.
Yeah, that is the most notionsy thing you could ever order in Gay's Bar. I'm going to come, as you gave us that answer, I'm going to go to Marge Simpson first. Marge, what's your answer?
I don't know. I'm so sorry. I said homemade Pepsi. Price is right.
Yeah,
sorry, James.
It's certainly notions.
I like where you were going with it. I should have thought of that. Oh, I wasn't present for that particular moment. I should have done it.
I'm going to go next to Al Pacino. Al, what do you have for us?
Okay, so chicken fillet roll. I got great auk, which, you know, is an extinct bird. So that would be fancy, right?
Yes.
And then the fanciest cut I could think of, shank, and then brioche. I thought that would be, I don't know, that's as fancy as I could think of.
So a brioche bun with a shank of great hawk.
Auk.
Auk.
A-U-K, auk. It's an extinct bird. They were hunted to extinction.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that would be a fairly tall order for the guy.
You'd have to genetically, clone the auk from some stem cells or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Is this something you've given much thought to
yeah.
before? Okay.
I want to, as well as, I've been coming up with a few film ideas recently. One was Zuma Blanca, as we know, that's no longer happening. But the other one is Great Auk Park. I want to restart Jurassic Park, but with flightless birds that are extinct.
Yeah, I heard that project was called Jurassic Auk Park. Was that another project?
That would be better. Yes. I have an idea for a film. It's called Jurassic Oak Park. Put that in earlier and everything's fine.
It's not the right answer, amazingly.
Jurassic Oak Park. Is that... No, too much.
Too much.
Back off that one.
Daniel O'Donnell, what answer did you have for us?
Well, first of all, I want to say the gay community has been so supportive of me, and I've loads of gay fans. I really do. Unfortunately, I don't service them in the same way as I do the old ladies. But having said that, I think that he had these, they're like fruity sort of diamonds. I think he got a sprinkling of pomegranate on the top of his chicken fillet roll. So I said pomegranate because Magella buys it and she puts it in salads. And I always say, that's really delicious, Magella. So it's my answer.
I thought you might have gone for another little jar of carrots.
No. They're a treat. I mean, they were given out as one for everybody in the audience. You don't be having them with everything, Dave.
There's no notions. There's no notions.
Hop on.
There's no notions about a jar of carrots. It's very
no. Dangerous. Well, there is, but I mean, I think we only got pomegranates in here about 3 years ago, yeah. So they're very rare and unusual. And I think their weight is akin to gold or something. So being a celebrity, I get to dine on these, but probably I'd say Darren would be another candidate that would.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, it's not the right answer.
Ah.
I'm going to go to another celebrity, Jack Rayner. What do you think Darren Kennedy orders in Gay Spar?
I think he orders the person making his roll to explain to him whether the Spar is technically on Georgia Street or Dane Street.
Oh, yes, of course. Because famously, Gay Spar at the end of Georgia Street is also on Dame Street.
I mean, the entrance is confusing.
Yes.
Is it going it?
Yeah. It never closes and it never decides which street it's on. Jimmy Stewart is here. Yeah. And what was your answer,
Jimmy? Well, I'm sorry, Jimmy. I don't think I could help you with this one either. There was a lot for me to unpack in that question. I don't know what a Spar is, whether it's a friend of Dorothy or not. I don't know who that Mr. Kennedy was. And a chicken fillet roll was a bit beyond me. But most of all, I thought Notion meant a good idea, a great idea. So I thought if he had a good Notion, he'd get a nice cup of cocoa. A nice cup of cocoa with his chicken fillet roll.
I mean, it's a nice way to cap off any night, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. Puts you right to sleep, Dan.
Yeah, particularly if you've had a big night dancing in a gay bar.
And a hopstock or a shoot loop, yeah. Whatever those kids get up to.
Kim Woodburn, help us out here. What answer have you got for James?
I'm very popular amongst the gays, so I've gone for a Kim Woodburn chicken fillet roll.
What's that?
It's a special sandwich named after me, Kim Woodburn. I actually quite the story behind it. I was doing a personal appearance in Gay Spar, and yes, I was there, and the deli counter assistant said to me, "I've named a sandwich after you." I said, "What is in it?" He said, "Well, it's a hollowed out baguette filled with coleslaw," and I was like, "Ooh, I love this." And he said that he's put five ghost peppers in it. We don't know where it is, but you know, with each bite, you don't know what you're getting. You could get nice Kim, lovely Kim, lovely Kim, or you could get, you know, don't start Kim. It depends on which part of my childhood I've compartmentalized at that stage. You know, it all comes out. Colleen Nolan is quite the trigger for me. Colleen Nolan, the chinless wonder. But yes, that is it. I'm very big amongst gay people, and also women with low self-esteem. I think it's the unmitigated rage that I show. I'm not sure. But yes, they love me. They love me.
Kim, it sounds like a lovely sandwich. It's not the right answer.
Oh, they crucified Jesus. They crucified Jesus. That's just a statement. Sorry.
From one blonde bombshell to another, Gemma Collins, you're back with us.
Don't compare me to her place, honey. She's not on my level. She's nothing like me. Anyway, he ordered a rim job. You know, Pete Morgan asked me to give him a rim job once, and I told him in all uncertain terms, you ain't never going to get this candy.
Is a rim job a sandwich? What is it?
Jambon.
Yeah, could someone, that one went over my head, too. Could you explain the rim job?
It's like a cheesy bacon bit pastry. It's delicious.
Oh, I'd love one of
that
those.
That sounds just swell.
Okay, listen, James, we haven't had any luck so far, but we've got one last contestant to go to. Elizabeth Holmes, what answer do you have?
Well, let me ask you this first. What is the biggest thing that gets in the way of you setting goals and achieving things?
Is this for me?
Sure. Or
James? I would guess, you know, my inner critic.
Right, exactly. I say the same thing. It's not knowing when you're going to die. How can you set goals if you don't know exactly when you're going to die? So I said, actually named another one of our prototypes, which is the Jizmonium. And what that does, with just one drop of semen, we can tell when and how you are going to die so you can plan your life appropriately. And it's a bit of fun.
Wow. I mean, again, that does sound like almost sci-fi-esque, that technology. Like,
yes, thank you.
Be true.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, I guess if Darren Kennedy was going into gay spar overnight, it's possible he would have semen on him. maybe not his own. I don't know. Unfortunately, it's not the right answer, James. So we've had no scoring to date. We're not doing too well here, guys. So we'll go back to Keane for another question. Okay, Keane. Jim Corr is at it again. In his latest YouTube video, Jim claims that the government are blank.
Are you a fan of the Corrs, Dave?
Not their music.
Okay.
Are you a fan of the Corrs yourself, Keane?
Yeah, I do like an old fiddly jig when I'm out to dance and to sway and to sing along to, but you couldn't listen to more than two songs in a row.
Well, they only have two, so that's fine.
So it's perfect.
Yeah. Jim Corr is at it again. In his latest YouTube video, Jim claims that the government are blank. Keane, what answer did you have?
Well, I tried to think of something that's, you know, because he has some far-out thoughts, so I was trying to think, what's the most unrealistic thing that the government could possibly be? So I said he thinks that the government are sexy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's not a drop of sex appeal in Leinster House at all.
Right, yeah. So, of course, Jim Corr is going to think that. They are sexy. That's a good answer. Okay. I'm gonna start where I finished last time. So I'm going to go first this time to Elizabeth Holmes.
Yes. Well, I am unfamiliar with Jim Corr. So I just thought of my own relationship with the government. And I said, my daddies. They've just been so good to me. And if any of them are watching right now, I want you to know that you're my sexy, sexy daddies. And I want you to remember that I am a woman with blonde hair.
Okay. Well, listen, speaking of leaders, the leaders of the country, Fortune magazine named you as one of the world's most disappointing leaders. How did that feel?
Well, I'll ask you this. Are magazines viable? Are they even real? Or is it just an idea?
Okay. Yeah, no, fair enough. It wasn't the right answer, I'm afraid. It wasn't what we were looking for. I'm going to go next to Marge Simpson. Marge, what have you got for us?
Maybe if you want to try and get points on the board, you could misconstrue what I've written. But I wrote, special little guys. Because that government's like a family.
I feel the same way, Marge. I feel the same way.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Well, listen, it's not a right answer, I'm afraid, Marge.
I'm sorry. Keane, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, I couldn't really construe it as a correct answer because I wouldn't say family is sexy necessarily.
Well, I know somebody who's definitely got a sexy family. That's the GC, Gemma Collins.
Excuse me, don't talk about my family like that, Darren. It's very disrespectful.
Okay, well, I was trying to give you a compliment. What's your answer, Gemma?
I said the government are conspiring to ruin my very expensive hair. It's fucking frazzled. Because of Brexit, I can't get heated rollers anywhere. All they've got is straighteners. It's fucking frazzled.
Oh, no. You don't want to use straighteners on extensions.
No, mate. No, it's expensive.
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything, but I did think your hair was not looking as its usual, like, bouncy kind of voluminous.
Dave, this is insult to injury. I'm not having a good time. I don't like games. Now you're insulting me. I can't do this anymore. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm out.
Oh, God, we've lost her again. Oh, no.
We might need to get a Shetland pony to get her back this time, because, I mean, yeah, it takes a lot. Something. Yeah.
Well, one reality star who's still with us is Kim Woodburn. Kim, what answer have you got for us?
He's a controversial figure. So I said, the Jim said that the government is doing a great job. He's a controversial man. He's very, very controversial. He's an adulterer. He's got three beautiful sisters at home, and he's an adulterer, David. He's an adulterer.
What, he's cheating on his sisters?
Yes, he's off in his helicopter, you know, conspiracy theories of why he doesn't fancy his sisters. Let's just say that attraction doesn't melt genetic code. That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough. Jimmy Stewart, what have you got for us?
Well, it's funny that watch Kim said there, because I'm not too familiar with this Jim Corr fella myself. I'm sorry, Ken. But if he's talking about the government as a big fan of government, I would say that they were doing their very best. They're trying to stick this out. You know, it's not easy, and I think kind of the less involved a government is in people's affairs, the better. So.
Okay, I'm afraid it's not a right answer. I tell you, somebody who knows something about sexy, that's Jack Rayner.
Yeah.
Jack, what have you got for us?
What I believe he said, I actually saw the video. I'm a big Jim Corr fan. And I'd stay abreast. I was meant to play him in a film there a while back. But obviously COVID and the taste got in the way of that, and I got shit canned. But I'll be, I watched all his videos as research. I mean, I came around to like a lot, but I think he went too far with this one. I think he went too far with what he said about the government. I agree with a lot of what he says, but this time I feel like he went too bloody far. He said, the government, as far as I'm concerned, are a group of people with the authority to govern in a country or state, semicolon, a particular ministry in office.
It was accurate.
That's you're on another planet, Dave, with that kind of stuff. You know, you're like, okay, I agree with what you say about, you know, 5G and all the rest. But when you're getting into like mental weeds like that, it's like, no, sorry, I'm done. I'm out. Well, Jack's out. Rayner's out, baby.
Fair enough. I mean, he may have actually said that, but it's not the answer we were looking for Keane.
That does sound like Jim Corr. He does always put his punctuation in when he speaks, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Famous grammar Nazi.
Yeah.
Not another kind of Nazi, though. For legal reasons, we can't claim that. So, Daniel O'Donnell, have you ever worked with Jim Corr?
I recorded a beautiful single with Jim Corr about 15 years ago. It was called The Hills of Glenmar, and it was about, famously, he loves dogging, so we wrote a beautiful song about that. I know that he does say a lot of controversial things, and he makes these wild statements, and he's used a bit of bad language, so I'm actually a bit afraid to say what I think he said. I don't know if this is the kind of show that I can say that.
Just go
and
for
I,
it.
Dave.
We can edit it out afterwards. So you just.
I think he said the government were smelly pigs. Smelly pigs. So I think that's what he said, and I'm sorry that I had to soil the show with that.
It's not right anyway.
No, and you know what? I've lost respect for him, because previously he was just a sex mad fella with a good. He could sing a bar and he could pump for Ireland.
Okay, well, look, we've got one last contestant.
Pray for him, Dave.
What, sorry?
I said, say a wee prayer for Jim.
We'll say a prayer for Jim. Okay. Al Pacino, you're our last chance here. What do we got?
Yeah, well.
Come on, Al.
We're looking for a match here. I actually, I've been working on a Jim Corr film project with Jack Rayner over there. And Jack's going to play Jim. Obviously, I was going to play the three sisters, Nutty Professor style. So he initially came out and said what Jack said, but then later he clarified his comments to say that government is a democratically elected body who organize collective initiatives and international relations. So, you know, we got a match.
We got a match.
We got a match there.
Unfortunately, it was not with Keane.
No.
Okay, well, look, I'm afraid we don't have a match there. I'm going to go back to James for another question. Hopefully we can get a match this time, this time around. James, your question. Daft Punk are musical geniuses, but when they saw Linda Martin's cover of Get Lucky, they blank. I will just ask the question one more time. For you, James, Daft Punk are musical geniuses, but when they saw Linda Martin's cover of Get Lucky, they blank. What's your answer?
Well, they realized that it wasn't going to get any better. So they retired.
They retired. Okay, well, yeah, it's topical. They did. So it's accurate. We know that. Okay, I'm going to start this time. I'm going to start with Jack Rayner. Jack.
They would have known that, you know, they're quite rich and successful in their own way, like myself, and iconic and like myself. So, and they're seeing this kind of lesser artist perform their work. So I think they're going to react the way that I reacted when I saw that Bollywood remake of What Richard Did. And I think they laughed it off, but they're too successful to care. I think that's definitely answer.
It's not a match, I'm afraid. You mentioned What Richard Did. Do you did you relate to your character in that film, Jack?
Oh, yeah, Jesus, yeah. Not in the kind of the posh Southside way. No. I'm working class through and through, but... in the sense of kicking a man to death and getting it off. You'd be surprised how often that happens.
Yes. Okay, we'll move on. Kim Woodburn.
I don't know if you noticed, it's a showbiz secret, but myself and Twink are very good friends. We have very similar energy. Our aura is the same, I feel. And so, yes, when Daft Punk, and I know about this, when Daft Punk saw Linda Martin do Get Lucky, they dog-napped Twink's dog Bertie. The bastards, the gang-handed, chicken-livered bastards. They had the masks on already. We couldn't get them done legally. They had motorcycle helmets on, and they kicked in Twink's door. She was very afraid in her sugar crack room. She was shook for days, and they stole that dog.
So they obviously enjoyed the cover if they were willing to kidnap Twink's dog for
they were mesmerized, David. Did you not see that performance yourself?
I mean,
it's a very similar situation to when that man, you know, when Jodie Foster told that man to kill Ronald Reagan. Daft Punk? More like Daft Boys, huh? Criminals.
It's not the right answer. Elizabeth Holmes, she kind of knows about retiring. Maybe not, you know, by choice, but what's your answer?
Oh, I mean, I'm absolutely not going to retire. Well, this was another case where I just tried to think about what I would do because I have a lot of experience with people who are threatened by great ideas and also maybe stealing those ideas. So I just wrote out exactly what myself, Elizabeth Holmes, would do. Threatened her with a life-shattering lawsuit and tried to ruin her reputation with a calculated character assassination, thereby decimating her livelihood, and also they threatened violence.
No proof
of the violence.
Yeah. Not the right answer. Okay, we'll move on. Marge Simpson.
I'm so sorry, James. I'm so sorry. What I said is what I think I would say if I heard that song, and that's every Simpson dance now. Bump, 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 bump. I'm sorry, that's not the right one.
Okay, it's not the right answer. Gemma Collins.
David, honey, I will apologise for my former conduct on the show. I think I've got this one right. So when Daft Punk look at Linda Martin covering their song, they look at themselves, they ask, why me?
It's a great answer.
It's clever, isn't it? Got it.
Lovely. Are you a Linda Martin fan, Gemma?
Never heard of a love who.
Okay, it's not the right answer, I'm afraid. We're running low on answers at this point. Let's go to Daniel O'Donnell.
Dave, I said that they started to get funny feelings because my Magella's daughter used to hang around with the boys. And she told me that, well, they told me themselves in confidence that when they first heard the song, they felt a bit strange. And actually their wee willies started to feel a little bit odd in a good way, but in a bad way. So they had to go and have a wee bath. They had to shower it off.
They felt dirty like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Jimmy, you jumped in there. You seemed a little bit confused about Daft Punk.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Dave. You're killing me with these references, Dave.
It's not your game, is it?
It's not my game. I'm sorry, Jimmy. The only thing I know about those two shiny boys was that I thought they were robots. So I just said they did the robot. I thought they did the robot. I don't know if that's their song or who Linda Martin Kavanagh is, but if she wanted to dance, if she wants them to dance, I think they danced.
Yeah. Okay, it's not right, I'm afraid. We've got one last celebrity, I believe, to answer this question. Is Al Pacino?
Yeah. Well, I said quit.
Said they quit. Got an answer.
But that's, different from retire, obviously. No, so that's a real shame.
let me just check with the judges. Yeah, no, they're going to accept us. It's a correct answer. Well done, James. Well done, Al, for getting that right.
Thank you.
And that was our last question, which means our winner today is James. Congratulations, James.
Yay! Oh, what do I win?
You win the knowledge that you are a better Snatch Game contestant than Keane.
Brilliant.
Like he said at the start, I'm always in his shadow.
Well, that's all we have time for on this special episode of Sissying It In. I want to thank our contestants, Keane and James, for making this possible today. And I also want to thank all of our guests, Peter McGann, Alison Spittle, Aaron McGathy, Stephen Bradley, Sophie Shanley, Mark Canton, Ren Dennehy, and Ronan Carey. Give yourself a round of applause.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay. Brilliant. Yay.
I'm Dave Coffey. Thanks for joining us. Goodbye.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Head Stuff Plus.